The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
It's lovely to see you this morning. You're all very welcome to this, our service of morning prayer. And there are a few announcements this morning. Why don't you take your seats? Just to remind you that we've been made very welcome across the road in 162 Upper Knockbreda Road in the Church's Ministry of Healing. And they have a craft group on Monday mornings between 10 and 12. And there's an open invitation to us. And our craft group will be starting again soon, I'm sure. Over the next wee while, our own organisations will be starting up. Is that right?
I'm looking over. Yes.
The fifth?
Yeah.
Brilliant. And it's as good, would you say, as their one across the road? You don't want to commit? It's as good as the one across the road. That's what we're saying. Also, we've got Sunday school starting next week. So that will be absolutely brilliant for our children and young people. We'll come in here as per usual and then go through the doors and up the stairs. Also, this week on Thursday, 7 p.m., we've got our prayer meeting over Zoom, which is always a special time. Next Sunday, 9 a.m., here we've got Holy Communion. Next Sunday, 11 a.m., here we have Connect. And then at 7 p.m., we're upstairs for Holy Communion. Just to give you a bit of notice, from the 29th of August to the 1st of September in Willowfield Church, we have the Bishop's Bible Week with Reverend Greg Downs. The theme will be True Conversion, and he's basing his talks on the first chapter in Colossians. On the Saturday of that week, the 2nd of September, at 7:45, there's a youth event, which I think would be good. I think that'd be a nice thing to go to for those in their teens. We're asking for volunteers, and we've already got a few good names or a good number of names that have put themselves forward to help set up on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock. And we've already got some folks who have said they're going to be meeters and greeters on Sunday mornings, to help people down the hill if that's necessary. If you would like to put your name onto either of those lists, why don't you see me at the end or even WhatsApp me if you have my number, and I'll put you on a list, I'll put you on a chat, and the more the merrier, I think is the way we'll do things. Just to remind you that there's no parking in the church grounds over the next few weeks, but you know that already because you've all parked somewhere else and trekked up. So it's lovely to begin worship with you this morning. And our opening hymn this morning is going to be hymn 330, God is Here as We His People.
Thank you.
service of morning prayer, which begins on page 101. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Merciful Father, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The psalm appointed for this morning's service gives thanks to God for past help and expresses confidence in his continuing help. We read together Psalm 124, which can be found on page 744 of the prayer book. Please stand. If the Lord himself,
had not been on our side, now may Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when enemies rose up against us, then would they have swallowed us alive when their anger burned against us. Then would the waters have overwhelmed us and the torrent gone over our soul. Over our soul would have swept the raging waters. But blessed be the Lord, who has not given us over to the enemy for their teeth. Our soul has escaped the fervor of the snare of the fire. The snare is broken and we are delivered. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever.
Please be seated for our Old Testament reading.
The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 1, verses 8 to 22. Then a new king, to whom Joseph meant nothing, came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and, if war breaks out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labour, and they built Pithom and Rameses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labour in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their harsh labour, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Sifra and Pua, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth on the delivery stool, if you see that the baby is a boy, kill him, but if it is a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to, and they let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live? The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: Every Hebrew boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. This is the word of the Lord.
Our next hymn talks about the beauty of nature and the love that surrounds us throughout our lives. We sing hymn number 350, "For the Beauty of the Earth." Seated for our New Testament reading.
The New Testament reading is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though being many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it carefully. This is the word of the Lord.
We stand now to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. The collect for today, the 12th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than either we desire or deserve. Pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, save through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favour, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. As we prepare to receive God's word, we stand to sing hymn number 624, Speak, Lord, in the Silence.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, be with us now as we look to you and look to your word, and help us to grow into you and closer to one another. Amen. Amen. So I have a question for you, probably over the course of the morning have a couple of questions for you, but the first one is this: are you a conspiracy theorist? Is there anyone sitting here on this flat earth a conspiracy theorist? To a greater or lesser extent, I think we all are. I reckon we all believe that some groups and organizations have conspired together for gain or for consolidation of power or to keep secrets from us. I think, to be honest, that is a true thing that happens. But there are lots of things and ideas out there that are classed as conspiracy theories, and here's a couple. There is, of course, the theory that the moon landing was faked, and there's a lot about this online. And there's also some footage of Buzz Aldrin, that astronaut, punching one of these theorists in the mouth. So that particular theorist doesn't believe in the moon landing, but one would hope that he believes in dentists. There's a bit of chat about whether or not Paul McCartney is actually alive. That's still going around. The idea started in 1966, and the theory is that he died and his place was taken by a look-alike and a sound-alike, I guess. And there are more recent conspiracy theories. One that I heard recently was that rectors wait to see when the work in a church is about to happen. Yeah, and then goes on holiday and leaves it to the curate. That, of course, is a theory that is verifiably untrue. Where's the camera? Verifiably untrue and was started by me. The idea behind these conspiracy theories is that the powerful would work together to consolidate power and to keep their status and keep things for themselves. Today I want to put it to you that there is a conspiracy afoot that is greater than any of these conspiracy theories. And in fact, it is not a conspiracy theory, it is a conspiracy truth. A conspiracy fact. There is a clue to the nature of this conspiracy in the book of Exodus, the Old Testament reading that was read to us beautifully this morning. Two Hebrew midwives were called before Pharaoh, that king in Egypt. This king was worried that the Hebrew people living in Egypt were getting too numerous, getting too powerful. And he worried that if Egypt were ever to be attacked, the Hebrew people would join together with the attackers. Apparently where the Hebrew people were was most likely to be, that region was going to be the route that their biggest enemy would take. They would gather the Hebrews and together they would turn on the Egyptians and get rid of Pharaoh. So to drain the Hebrew people of all their energies, what Pharaoh did was he set them to work as slaves and he used them to build new cities and storehouses. Then he decided that that wasn't enough. He would get rid of the Hebrew males. He thought that the Hebrew male was where the risk lay. And this was where those great midwives came in. They were told to carry out their duties to the Hebrew women, but when they saw that the child born had been a boy, they were to put that boy to death. The midwives looked at Pharaoh on his throne with his power and his authority, and they decided that he was nothing compared to their God. They respected God's authority over Pharaoh's authority. So they hatched a plan. They conspired together to protect the newborn boys. When they were called before Pharaoh again to explain themselves, to explain the fact that there were Hebrew boys all over the place, they lied to his face and they said, the Hebrew mothers, well, they're popping these boys out left, right and center faster than we can get to them. It's out of our hands completely. This conspiracy to protect and love was not just carried out by the midwives, they were the ones at the core of it. But the Hebrew people themselves would have seen very quickly what was going on. They must have aided and abetted. They must have thrown their lot in with the plan. It was a conspiracy to directly undermine the authority of the king. They were in it together. Nobody broke ranks. Nobody snitched, because we all know snitches get stitches. Nobody snitched as the midwives put their lives on the line. As the midwives said, "We will entwine our fate with the fate of your boys." The community in turn said, "Yes, and we will entwine our fate with yours." It was a huge conspiracy. These midwives, these amazing women, were called Shiphrah and Puah. The name Shiphrah means to shine or bright, and the name Puah has a root that means to glitter or sparkle. Isn't that fantastic? And the light that they must have brought into that dark time must have been tremendous. It was a conspiracy to live. They said, "Let us work together to live. You are alive because I am alive, and I am alive because you are alive. We are in this together." The risk, of course, and there was considerable risk, the risk was that no chain is stronger than its weakest link. And that's why people are always reticent to put their all in with other people. We always keep something back. It's common sense. I heard a podcaster speak to, he was speaking to a police officer. And the podcaster said, "I've come up with a perfect crime. See what you think of this." And he said, "What I would do first is this. Me and my friend, we would," and it didn't get any further. The policeman said, "I'm going to stop you right there. You've involved somebody else. You've involved a friend. You've just been caught. That is your undoing. As soon as you involve anyone else in your plan, it will go wrong." And this is the accepted way of life, even for law-abiding people. We always keep something back from other people. There's wisdom in that, but sometimes we keep too much back. We know we need to look after ourselves. We need to be responsible for ourselves. This is normal. This is common sense. It's not selfish. But sometimes we draw the boundary between ourselves and other people in the wrong place. Our boundaries are too wide. My boundaries are far too wide. I am often far too reserved in what I share with other people, in what I depend upon for other people. But here's the thing. God calls us in a different direction. There's a conspiracy afoot. And the conspiracy, strangely enough, is not about God. The conspiracy is God. How's your Latin? Here's the second question. Did anyone do Latin in school? Right, okay. Okay. Can you break down the word conspire for us, or conspiracy? Anyone fancy their chances?
Working together.
Working together, okay. Very good. Is there somebody else there? I'm happy to wait. Conspire. The word con sometimes is the same as the word, as the sound com. It's used and it's got that root of togetherness. So we get together. Together as in congregate or connect. And spire or spire comes from the meaning to breathe, as in respire. To conspire is to breathe together. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are alive because they are alive together. They are alive together. They always have been. God always will be alive in Trinity together. They breathe together in an eternal conspiracy. The Hebrew people breathed together as a God community. They risked their lives together, entwined their lives together in a conspiracy. In Paul's letter to the Romans that was read this morning, Paul calls upon the church to be the same God community that those midwives risked their lives for. He calls us to love ourselves and to love others just as much, whoever we are, whatever our ages, whatever our concentration levels, whatever sounds we make the sounds of the people of God. And in church, whatever sounds we hear, they are the beautiful sounds of the people of God. I love it. He calls us to love ourselves and to love others just as much. And Paul's letter also requires us to be a community that is set apart from and not conformed to the world around us. There are many ways in which this can happen. And one way revolves around the way we think of community itself. One of the great things about being in this hall, in this morning, is that we can change our perspectives just a little bit. We can change the way we look at each other and change the way we see each other. We're all creatures of habit. This is natural. This is normal. However, what it can mean in practice is that among this church community, among us, there'll be people we know well and speak to weekly. Sometimes we speak to them daily. And there'll be others that we don't know so well. And we maybe know them to give a hello to or a wee nod to. This isn't because we're uncaring or unkind. It's just that we have particular habits. And we are humans, creatures of habit. This is the way life and community works in the workplace, on the streets among our neighbours. However, church community can be different. And I'm going to suggest that while it's easier to conspire together, to live together, to breathe together with people we are always comfortable with, in a church community, we are called beyond ourselves to meet with new people. If we were to form new ties with new people within this church community, it would strengthen us as a body, as a whole. Also, there will certainly be people in any group of this size, any group of this size, that are living with loneliness or a secret fear of isolation. And it can be hard to approach new people. We've all been there. I've been there so many times when you've known someone for so long, it's past the point of asking their name. It's not, it's too late now. And there are people that we've been worshipping with for ages. And we're in the habit now of just not quite knowing them. But we can. We can put ourselves forward. We can meet people in a fresh way. And I would encourage us all to reach out and involve somebody new in our current comfortable circle. And sadly, there are some churches where people who have attended and have attended for years have felt outsiders for years. They felt apart. They felt on the outside of their own church community. And they've wondered if it would really make a difference to the church if they were to stop going. And I've known people who have decided at that point to stop going. And the sad thing is that they were right. Nobody has reached out to them. Nobody has gone to them and said, "We miss you. Are you okay?" So let's come back from that and think about our church. And let's be sure that our church is a church that notices. It is a church that misses people, recognizes when they're there, and misses them when they're gone. God calls upon us to be living sacrifices. That is, lives that give to one another in the presence of God. This, Paul says, is true worship. To live as God would have us live in community is part of true worship. We're one body and breathing together as all the varied parts of the body of Christ. We are Christ-like, living in the world. This body, according to Paul, does not conform to the world's patterns, but to God's. And the call upon us is the same call that was on those amazing heroes, Shiphrah and Puah. And in this way, as a God community, we conspire, we breathe together to look to Christ. And in his name, we look to one another. And we're alive. I'm alive because you're alive. You're alive because you're alive. We breathe together. And we are alive in Christ with one another. One of the amazing things that happened this morning was that when every one of you arrived, there was someone who had their eyes on you. When you arrived up at the car park, where are we? When you arrived up at the car park there, there was someone standing in the doorway just to make sure that you knew your way and you made it down the hill okay. Gravity is a great thing. It will get you down the hill, but sometimes getting down the hill hurts. And there was somebody there to make sure you were okay. There was somebody at the bottom of the hill to greet you, to welcome you, or even just to see that you did it okay. On Friday, some people came in here early without being asked and set the chairs up for you. Wouldn't it be amazing if, as we leave, that same interlinking, that same body went out with us? Not just on a Sunday morning or in preparation for a service, but what would it be if, when we go out as God's people, we have people just praying for us by name over the course of the week? What would it be if we had somebody just giving us a wee phone call and saying, "How are you?" What it would be if somebody said, "Do you want a cup of coffee? Do you fancy a pint? Can I check in with you?" What would it be if we were to pray for one another and pray with each other? Sometimes that's a strange thing to do. But as the body of Christ, sure, it's something we can do. We can just stand there and say, can I pray with you? It doesn't need to look strange. You don't even have to touch each other. We can just pray for each other. And this is what it is to be the body of Christ. And so let's use our opportunity to be ourselves, but let's take the opportunities to be open to one another and to allow other people in so we can breathe together and we can be together as the body of Christ. Should we take a quiet moment to think about some of these things, and then shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for our brothers and sisters who put so much dedication and effort into our Sunday morning services. For those who set up our chairs, for organizing the music, for organizing the sound and the audio visuals. For those who would welcome us, those who would lead us in worship, who read the Bible for us. Thank you that as a community, there are so many different parts. And even beyond those people, there's so many other parts that we just take for granted. Heavenly Father, thank you for this community that works together, conspires together in worship. And help us in the weeks to come to conspire together in life. To be fully alive because one another is fully alive. Help us to pray for one another and pray with one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord our God, broaden our vision of your world, of your nature. Help us to respond to your calling, whether it's fully comfortable at first or not. and whether it's convenient or not. May the whole church reflect your light and beauty in the love for God and neighbour, displayed in corporate worship and individual and shared godly living. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May no corruption, cruelty or injustice go unchallenged in any part of our world, especially in the church. And however unpopular the challenging may be, may our church and our society protect the vulnerable and encourage mutual care and support. Help us as a body to lead the way in that. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May our care of the very young and the elderly imitate the faithful and generous caring of our God. May we overcome our envies, jealousies, and grievances, so that in God's love we can look at one another face to face and practice the liberating work of forgiveness. May we be together in a way that reflects Father, Son, and Holy Spirit being together. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May all of us whose bodies cause us pain or immobility be affirmed in value and love by one another. May they be affirmed with Jesus and us as followers. And may those who are spiritually immobile be set free to love and serve God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. May those who have died in faith live forever in the joy and peace of heaven as children of promise. And may those who miss their company be comforted and supported. May those who are in hospital or going to hospital for procedures be looked after by you. And may they be especially close to you this week. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, our God who lives in Trinity, make us one with you, make us one with one another, and accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let's reflect on some of these ideas and thoughts as we stand and sing together hymn number 559, All to Jesus I Surrender. Thank you so much for joining us this morning in person as we have worshiped together, and those of you who are worshiping with us online. It is a pleasure to worship together, and we know that you're with us in spirit. So let's bring our service to a close with a blessing prayer. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of God, the three in one. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and evermore. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is 649. Happy are they that love God.